Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Casper. We recorded this week's episode before the attacks in Orlando and wanted to offer our thoughts and love in response to the tragedy. A lot of people will turn to prayer or to their religious community in such times of despair. And we know that for a whole ton of our listeners, that's not really an option. And so what we wanted to suggest was that if there are times of sadness and loss of hope and courage, that this can be a kind of prayer, that turning to this text and delving into it with attention and with love is itself a kind of prayer. So we found one little passage that for us really speaks volumes in this time of mourning and of anger that we hope will speak to you also.
This offering is from Goblet of Fire. It is the speech that Dumbledore makes when Cedric Diggory has been killed by Lord Voldemort. And every time I say the name Cedric Diggory, I will be thinking of the 49 victims in Orlando and of their families. It is my belief, and never have I so hoped that I am mistaken, that we are all facing dark and difficult times. Some of you in this hall have already suffered directly. Many of your families have been torn asunder. A week ago, a student, Cedric Diggory, was taken from our midst. Remember Cedric. Remember if the time comes when you have to make a choice between what is right and what is easy. Remember what happened to a boy who was good and kind and brave because he strayed across the path of violence. Remember Cedric Diggory.
May we all choose what is right over what is easy. Now let's turn to our text for today. Chapter 5, Diagon Alley. Harry woke early the next morning. Although he could tell it was daylight, he kept his eyes shut tight. It was a dream, he told himself firmly. I dreamed a giant called Hagrid came to tell me I was going to a school for wizards. When I open my eyes, I'll be at home in my cupboard. I'm Casper Ter Kyle.
I'm Vanessa Zoltan.
And this is Harry Potter and the Sacred Text.
Just a quick announcement before we get started. Thank you so much for those of you who have applied to be our social media volunteer. We're going to keep the application up online at harrypottersacredtext.com for one more week. We're really excited to get some more voices in to this conversation. So please go to our website and apply to be our social media volunteer. I went to Peru with my friend Emmy, and we decided we were going to do this sort of epic biking and hiking trip in order to get to the peak of Machu Picchu. And on day 3 of 5, maybe, the front tire to my bike blew and I flipped my bike. So I flipped over my handlebars. And what ended up happening, there's sort of two ways to read what happened. one version of the story is like what actually happened, which is that everybody who I came across over the next several hours, 24 to 48 hours while I needed medical care, was incredibly generous to me. This like stranger gave me a ride, and somebody else in my group carried my pack for me. And these, you know, strangers let me into their home and like cleaned my cut and gave me some sort of Advil or ibuprofen or something, and gave me a ton of water because I clearly had a concussion. I was seeing stars and whatever. So objectively, what happened was all of these people, all of these strangers came together and were incredibly kind to me and took really good care of me. My experience at the time, as somebody who was not understanding culturally what was happening, as somebody who, it turns out, was concussed, but who was just scared and a stranger in, you know, a rural part of a foreign land, was that I was terrified. I got into a van with a stranger. I got separated from my backpack. I was handed pills that I felt socially pressured to take. And like the whole thing, I was just terrified the entire time. And I just thought about that story, watching Harry just so bravely go through Diagon Alley as a stranger in a strange land for the first time. Whereas I assumed that everybody was out to get me and everybody was going to take advantage of my vulnerability. Harry, on the other hand, is so excited about any change, and he is just accepting this world with optimism and hope and glee. So I'm really excited to read this chapter of Diagon Alley through the theme of being a stranger and see the different ways that being a stranger in a strange land can impact the way that you walk through the world.
But before we get into the theme, it's time for our 30-second recap. Now, Vanessa, last time I went first as the sacrificial lamb, so this time, it's up to you. Get ready.
Hang on, wait.
There is no waiting.
Hang on.
This is a 30-second professional recap. Starting 3, 2, 1, go.
Hagrid brings Harry to Diagon Alley in order to buy all of his school supplies for the year, and it's an orientation for Harry into the wizarding world. And it is very much done through the lens of money. First thing they do is go to Gringotts, to the bank, and Harry figures out what sort of muggle money is. Nope, what wizard money is. He finds out that Hogwarts has secrets to it, and then he buys all of the things that he needs for school. He gets an owl, and then he gets sent back to the Dursleys in order to wait out a month before he goes to Hogwarts.
How does she do it?
I'm amazing. Okay. I mean, Casper, you got to cheat and listen to me do it first. Are you ready?
So not ready.
No. Come on. It's only fun if you're cocky and like rude about it.
I'm amazing. Okay. I'm going to do it great. Hi, everyone. It's Casper from the future in 2021. I'm doing a little insert here because just before we listen to the 30-second recap, I want to make an apology. I make light of Professor Quirrell's stutter, and it's not something I would do again. And I really apologize. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't communicate how I actually feel. And I know it's not been nice to listen to for some folks. So please, I ask for your forgiveness, and on with the show.
Ready, steady, go.
So Hagrid takes Harry into Diagon Alley through a hidden bar in the London kind of jungle. And there he's recognized instantly, and he's returned as a hero. And he meets Professor Quirrell, his future defense against the dark arts. And he goes to all sorts of shops and gets money on a little thing. And there's something hidden in the Gringotts and the... Not trolls. They're definitely not trolls.
Goblins.
And 2 seconds, 1 second. Ah.
You were doing really well. You just lost steam.
I just tried to be funny with dark arts.
It was funny. It just
didn't quite work out. Let's dive into chapter 5, Diagon Alley. So we're reading with the theme of being the stranger. And this whole chapter is about discovery. It's about new experiences. It's about engaging with a new world through owls, you know, through a new currency, through different species that Harry is meeting, seeing hidden places in London. He's never even been to London. So even the non-magical world is a place where Harry is a stranger. And so what strikes me is that nearly all of these engagements with the new is done through commerce, is done through shopping.
Yes, this got pointed out to us by a professor of ours, by Professor Amy Hollywood, that Harry gets oriented into the wizarding world through capitalism. It's like, don't worry, Harry, you're rich. which gives him agency in this strange world. I think this world would be a lot stranger to him if he suddenly got there and also couldn't afford anything. But the fact that Harry, the first thing that Harry does in order to get oriented into this world is he's given just heaps of gold. And then, you know, he can access it. So the strangeness of the world is all new to him, but it's all incredibly accessible to him.
Absolutely. And the strange becomes familiar through that act of purchasing. So I think it's interesting how this act of consumption for Harry is one of ownership and of control over the strange.
I mean, he has purchase power, right? But what's interesting is that it's not the money that gives value to things for Harry. There's a quote in the book, "While Hagrid asked the man behind the counter for a supply of some basic potion ingredients for Harry, Harry himself examined silver unicorn horns at 21 galleons each and minuscule, glittery black beetle eyes, 5 newts a scoop." So these two things, which one is tiny and super expensive, and the other, which you can buy in a big scoop and is quite cheap, they're both equally interesting to Harry, right? It doesn't matter that it is a silver unicorn horn or if it's a beetle eye, just the fact that he is touching these things and is in this different world is exciting to him. And this is also how he's orienting himself to what is valued in this world.
But at the same time, he wants like a, you know, fully gold cauldron, which is, first of all, against the regulations which insist on pewter. And Hagrid kind of has to like bring him back and rein in that wanting the showy, shiny product.
Right. We're seeing sort of like nouveau riche instincts.
It's right? The worst of nouveau riche. That Potter boy. And, you know, we should ask, is that something he learned in the Dursley household, you know, in terms of being showy and trying to show off wealth? And it's funny that he remarks in the bookshop that even Dudley would be interested in these books. You know, some of them as small as a stamp. He's learned what is valuable in the Dursley household. And I think that's at play here and what he's interested in.
We're also seeing some sort of identity politics play out with what you purchase. Like, we communicate things through our labels. And so I think Harry is learning that here. He's learning that he is going to be putting off certain things through what he purchases and what he doesn't purchase. Even though in the magical world, we're also being taught that to some extent our purchases choose us. And we see that very clearly in Ollivander's.
And I think when Harry walks into Ollivander's, this theme of the stranger being eliminated also really takes place, because he, you know, he encounters all of these strange ones, and then finally this wand of holly is the one for him, and he is being reunited with a part of him that was maybe always waiting for him. You know, as Harry makes not friends but acquaintances in this new magical world, he's also making acquaintance with a part of his own story and his own humanity, his own magic, which has so far been hidden from him. So that moving from stranger to intimacy, I think, happens in that reuniting moment between those phoenix feathers and Harry himself.
It just strikes me, I mean, this is such a brilliant way of introducing us into the wizarding world through Harry's eyes. And, you know, and we're given this amazing narrator of Hagrid sort of explaining things as we go. And so we're offered 3 different points of perspective in Ollivander's shop. We are Ollivander looking for the right wand. We are Harry not quite understanding what Ollivander is looking for. And then we're also invited to see this experience through Hagrid's eyes of he's sitting on this couch and watching it happen. And so we have all 3 perspectives happening of what the wizarding world is, you know, and one is as a stranger and we're experiencing this for the first time. And the other 2 are these very knowledgeable people in the wizarding world.
And yet Hagrid is also a stranger,
yeah.
You know, first of all, because his wand is taken away from him. It is snapped in two, and we see him secretly hiding his pink umbrella in which the wand is kept.
Can I just read that quote real quick? It's so sad. Ollivander, of course, remembers every wand he has ever sold. And so Ollivander says about Hagrid's wand, "Good wand, that one. But I suppose they snapped it in half when you got expelled," said Mr. Ollivander, suddenly stern. Yes, they did. Yes, said Hagrid, shuffling his feet. "I've still got the pieces, though," he added brightly. "But you don't use them," said Mr. Ollivander sharply. "Oh, no, sir," said Hagrid quickly. Harry noticed he gripped his pink umbrella very tightly as he spoke. And this is really interesting to me because it's a broken thing still a thing? If you're not allowed to use it, does it still have power? There's a lot going on in these few sentences here.
The other thing in taking Hagrid's wand away, in the previous chapter, we learned that Harry, before he knew he was a wizard, was already doing sort of magic without his own will. And so it suggested that magic is in us, that there's something which can't be taken away. And yet you need a wand to be able to bring that magic to focused power and to fruition. And to think that the magical world or that the authority within the Ministry of Magic structure has the power to take away that tool from Hagrid and relegate him to a sort of childhood is such a violation of who he is. Because if the wand chooses the wizard to take away the thing that's chosen you is dehumanizing, don't you think?
Absolutely. So I love that Hagrid, who's so sweet and affable and in a lot of ways respects authority, he has a very interesting relationship with authority, but I love that he has kept the bits of it hidden in this pink umbrella, right? That he hasn't given in to that being taken from him, which is it's a continuous and constant act of rebellion.
And teaches Harry to stand up against structures of authority that seem unfair. I love that because he's never learned that at the Dursleys' home. But in seeing Hagrid flout those rules and doing things which, you know, sometimes are funny, like giving Dudley a pig's tail, and sometimes are really useful, shows him that, you know, following the rules is maybe not the best way to go.
Absolutely. Certainly thinking critically about when to follow the rules and when not to. The other thing that Harry is seeing through watching Hagrid is the full array in which the magical world responds to strangers. By watching Hagrid walk, you know, just a little bit ahead of him in this world, he's watching the way that this world responds to outsiders.
Yeah. He, in so many ways, is a stranger. He is knitting on the underground. He is too large to sit on the chair. The chair breaks. He is constantly a stranger in this world, both in the non-magical London, the magical London, and, of course, when he goes to the giant world, he's a stranger there as well. And, you know, it's interesting that Draco describes him as, like, some sort of savage who lives isolated away from the rest of Hogwarts. It just really struck me how othered Hagrid is, except in one moment. When they enter Diagon Alley, he remembers what bricks to tap, and the bricks reform into an arch through which he doesn't need to crouch. And it made me wonder, does this arch in Diagon Alley, does this hidden secret entryway change to the shape that it needs for whoever's passing through? Because what I love about that, at least what it says to me, is that even though these social structures reject Hagrid for who he is, the essential magical world that's physically around does welcome him in a way that it welcomes Harry as well.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This week's episode of Harry Potter and the Sacred Text is brought to you by MeUndies. Vanessa, my underwear drawer is like the Wild West of wardrobes.
Say more, Matt.
There's no rhyme or reason. Anything goes. I get gifts for, like, Christmas. There are seasonal underpants and socks. I have pairs from five different brands with five different fits. When I open my underwear drawer every morning, I have no idea what to expect. But I'll tell you what the best part of my underwear drawer is, Vanessa. It's the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies. When I open that underwear drawer, they're always what I reach for first. I know it's time to do the laundry when my unfavorite underwear is all that's left in the drawer.
Matt, my MeUndies underwear is my favorite underwear too. I actually have to do laundry today because I am wearing my last pair of clean MeUndies underwear. From black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone, and they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. They also, and this is what I love about them, have unmatched comfort. MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable and stretchy and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all day wear. Get 20% off of your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/HPST. That's MeUndies.com/HPST for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. So now that we've discussed our theme a little bit, let's take this a step further and pick a sentence in order to do our sacred practice for the week, which once again will be Lectio Divina. So I will just pick a sentence at random. Here we go. Up another escalator, out into Paddington Station. Harry only realized where they were when Hagrid tapped him on the shoulder. "Got time for a bite to eat before your train leaves?" he said. So this will present a nice little challenge for us because it is a really boring sentence. But I think part of what's exciting about Lectio Divina is that hopefully is that you can find beauty and meaning in not in anything, but in a lot of things, and certainly in unexpected places. So Casper, up another escalator, out into Paddington Station. Harry only realized where they were when Hagrid tapped him on the shoulder. "Got time for a bite to eat before your train leaves," he said. What is literally happening? Step one of Lectio Divina.
So Harry and Hagrid have left Diagon Alley. They've done their shopping, and they are heading back to the Dursleys' home. Paddington is one of the largest train stations in London and takes you on trains west. So we know that they live somewhere in the western suburbs of London. And before Harry's train leaves, you know, they're going to get some food because they've spent all day shopping. So the second layer is to think allegorically about what's going on here. Is there anything that strikes you, Vanessa, about images or other stories that this reminds you of?
Yeah, I mean, up another escalator out into Paddington Station, right? There's a transition happening of they've been down in this. I mean, they've been down in London too, but they've been down in this wizarding world. They've been down in this other world. And, you know, that feeling of when you come up and suddenly you're in a totally different space. You get off an airplane and you're in a different country. We've all had those moments where you walk out of a movie, you went in and it was light out and you come out and it's nighttime. Whatever it is, those moments where you go up an escalator and you just come out in a totally different way.
I'm getting like allegory bombs going off in my head right now. The fact that it's an escalator reminds me that they were stuck on an escalator that didn't work. They had to walk up an escalator that wasn't working before they got to Diagon Alley. And now they're on one that is working. And so there's this sense of movement. And there was, you know, 11 years of stuckness. And now there is this rapid transition for Harry, which I love. And secondly, the fact that it's Paddington Station reminds me of Paddington Bear, which I don't know if that was a big thing in America. But,
oh, it is.
Right? Like that. There's another stranger arriving in London from Peru, which, oh my goodness, totally relates to your story. So, you know, and who builds this wonderful connection with Britain. And, you know, so there's, again, this stranger becoming familiar. I'm just seeing a lot of symbolic overcoming of strangeness into familiarity.
Oh my gosh. In this whole sentence, it's just a metaphor, right? I mean, Harry only realized where they were when Hagrid tapped him on the shoulder, right? Like that could be the thesis for, you know, for Harry's life of like
who he is.
Yeah. He only realized who he was when Hagrid taps him on the shoulder. And then I love that it ends with this very pedestrian bit. It's again, Hagrid feeding him, you know, they meet through Hagrid feeding him. And now he's like, "I'm going to feed you up one more time." I mean, this goes back to last week's episode of generosity, but Hagrid is just incapable of stopping giving to Harry. He always has to be feeding Harry, giving him things. He's bought him a bird. He's right. He's just constantly bestowing things upon Harry. So Harry's going back to the Dursleys, but with a totally different orientation of having been tapped on the shoulder, of having been fed and given all these things. Okay, so step three of Lectio Divina is what does this say to us in our world? Casper.
Once or twice in my life, I've had a mentor who was able to see in me something that I wasn't yet able to see in myself. And I love what you say about Harry being tapped on the shoulder to help realize who he is by Hagrid, because that's exactly what's happened. And there have been a couple of times in my life where a really generous mentor has kind of metaphorically tapped me on the shoulder and who saw something in me that I didn't yet see in myself. And I think this passage really reminds me of that, because it takes someone else to help you see that. It took someone else to help me see that. And one of the reasons why I'm in Divinity School is for the amazing Charlotte Miller, who helped me understand that maybe what I was doing kind of had something to do with spirituality without me knowing. And so that's what I'm really reminded of in terms of my own experience, is that it takes someone like Hagrid for Harry to feel connected, to feel welcomed in. And it takes a real intimate, loving connection to trust that invitation. How about you, Vanessa?
I'm really struck by the up another escalator out into Paddington Station. I hate transitions. I hate transitions. I'm terrible at them. And I do it to myself all the time. I mean, it's like almost a joke. But there's such optimism being projected onto this of like, there's plenty of time to get a bite to eat. And there's plenty, you know, there's just real abundance being offered into this moment. And as much as I always hate transitions, I think the reason that I constantly do them is there's such excitement to them, right? You don't know what is going to be up the next escalator. And it's so exciting, those moments where, you know, those moments where you find yourself to be a stranger. Whenever I come back from a trip, I'm exhausted, but I'm also so refreshed and re-excited about the world and the vastness of the world. And so to me, this really just speaks to the excitement of the adventure that Harry is about to go on.
And I love that there's an escalator that leads to a train, right? This is just a pit stop. There's always another journey coming.
Yeah, that's lovely. So step four of Lectio Divina is, what does this call you to do? So Casper, this very boring sentence, what has it called you to?
I'm just really hung up on this image of mentorship and tapping someone on the shoulder. And I'm nearly 30 years old, so I'm feeling like very aged. But most of the time, I feel pretty young still. You know, I think about, you know, where are my elders? And I'm still so young and have so much to learn. And maybe I need to start thinking about, well, who can I bring with me? Like, what younger person can I turn to and tap on the shoulder? So that's something I want to think about this week, of like, are there younger people in my life, or do I actually need to make some new connections to do that? Because it's such a gift that we can give to help someone discover the gifts that they have to give in the world. How about you, Vanessa? What action does this unusual sentence offer to you?
I am struck by the got time for a bite to eat before your train leaves. Because I just think there's something so lovely about breaking bread with somebody else. And, you know, in divinity school and chaplaincy, you talk a lot about communion. And the humanist chaplaincy where I work, we host brunches just because we think it's important to eat together. And Harry's about to go back to the Dursleys. He's about to sort of have one last awful month before he gets to go to Hogwarts. And so I think that sort of nourishing him up through this lovely meal with Hagrid is a lovely way to send him off first. So I'm being called to just find opportunities to eat slowly and eat with people I love and really value those opportunities.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
I am so excited to tell you that What Matters, our 2024-2025 season registration, is now open. If you don't know, What Matters is a 28-week class that we think of as our version of Divinity School. Having gone to Divinity School, I was like, everyone should get to do this. Everyone should get to have a dedicated season to thinking about what matters to them and how they can live up to their values. And we have tried to condense that experience into half a year while still making it spacious enough that there's time, but also not making you quit your job and go to school for 3 years. It's facilitated by me, my friends Mauricio Bruce and Michaela Bly. Mauricio is a brilliant chaplain and therapist. Michaela is a Grand Slam winning storyteller. The program is divided into three units, each focused on a different novel. You also get one-on-one chaplaincy time. You get small group time. It's an incredibly special, small class. Our next cohort begins August 21st and will run through March 12th. Payment plans and scholarships are available. Go to notsorryworks.com to reserve your spot today. Okay, so it's time for this week's blessings. Casper, that's your name, right?
Turns out.
Okay, so Casper, who would you like to offer up a blessing for this week?
I want to bless Ollivander. He reveals to Harry something that's really important. The fact that his wand and Voldemort's wand are brothers. And this is something Voldemort doesn't even know. And it gives Harry an upper hand at this point where he is so powerless and so inexpert in the world of magic. He carries with him this piece of knowledge he might not even know yet is important. And I wonder what else Ollivander tells other people as they come in about their wand, how he shapes who they understand themselves to be by the choices that the wand has made. Because Ollivander has to see who that child is in their 11-year-old self to know what kind of wand will want that child. So I think that he not only sells products that help people define who they are, but he actually gives them a sense of identity that goes way beyond just the choice of the wand. You know, and it's that point of mentoring again. You know, every encounter that Ollivander has in his shop is a mentoring relationship of formation, of gift giving, and helping that child become who they were meant to be. How about you, Vanessa? Who are you blessing in this episode?
I will say that limiting to women, I'm getting more and more excited to like meet Hermione and McGonagall. There are so many great women in these books, and we just really aren't meeting them yet.
It's just Doris Crockford so far.
It's Doris Crockford, who very sweetly is part of, you know, the Harry welcoming committee, even though she's one woman and it's like four other men. And then Madame Malkin, who measures for robes, bless her heart. And I do think that, you know, they both deserve our blessings. But I'm actually going to bless Lily. She's been brought up a lot, but we are already hearing this refrain of, you look like your father, but you have your mother's eyes. And Lily's love for Harry protected him for the rest of his life and protects him from evil incarnate. And so I carry my mom with me wherever I go, and the best advice that I offer to people are always direct quotes from my mom. You know, have a nap before you make a big decision. Sanity has a price and it's always worth it. Like, all of the wisest things that I say are things that my mom has taught me. And so I want to offer a blessing to Lily, and just for the impacts that amazing mothers who love their children unconditionally can have. It is a protection. It is a magical spell that works. It's a charm that works, right? We find out from Ollivander that Lily's wand was good for charms. So I want to offer my blessing to Lily Potter and to all of the moms out there who love their kids unconditionally.
Yay.
I love you too, Dad. Just not as much.
Just not as much. Yeah. thank you for listening to this episode of Harry Potter and the Sacred Text.
We can't wait to reconnect with you next week as we read Chapter 6, The Journey from Platform 9 and 3 Quarters, through the theme of expectation.
If you have thoughts for a different sacred reading of today's chapter, we want to hear from you. So please use your phone's voice recorder and send us a sound file in an email. Or you can just email us the old-fashioned way at harrypottersacredtext@gmail.com or use the contact box on harrypottersacredtext.com.
While on the website, you can vote on today's winner of the 30-second challenge. You can find program notes about today's episode and learn more about sacred reading.
A big thanks to our Kickstarter supporter of the week, Ruth Dawkins, Rebecca and Charlie Ledley, Lauren Taylor, Shane Bannon, Rufus, the Harvard Communications team, the Humanist Hub, and our Harry Potter and the Sacred Text reading group. Our music is by Ivan Pizzo and Nick Ball. This episode was produced by Vanessa Zoltan, me, Casper Ter Kyle, and Ariana Nedelman. Time to bless.
Bless.
I want to bless the lady goblins, because where are they?
Yeah, why are there no lady goblins?
Why are there no lady goblins?
How do baby goblins get made?
Well, that is the question.